Hello, website listeners. We're in the midst of some changes at Calvary, as most of you will know by now. And if you aren't aware of what these changes are, you can go back to the Sermons tab on our website and look for the short Calvary remodel explanation that is linked there. It'll have the date of October 15 on it. Implementing these changes at church is going to take me some significant time. And so, with the approval of the Calvary Board, I am preaching four repeat sermons from October 15 through November 5th, sermons I wrote and preached when I was in my first year with you here. They'll be slightly refreshed, but primarily the same as the original time I brought them to you. Not having to write new sermons over this month should give me the time I need for this remodel project. Of course, some of you may not have been at Calvary back when I first arrived, so the sermons being re-preached here will be new to you. And even if you were there the Sunday they were first delivered, I figure it doesn't hurt to hear some of these things over again. So, if some of what you are about to hear sounds familiar to you, that's why. Wanted to give you the heads up on that. Here now is the sermon. So, week one of Calvary Remodel Project, and this is going to be your first of four repreached sermons, this from 2013, called A Father to the Fatherless. Elaine knew evil. She experienced it and lived in terror of it. Personifying evil was her corrupt father, a man known in the community to associate with bad company. In fact, he was the head guy of his gang. His lust for crime, corruption, control and violence seemed to worsen with each passing day. His behavior at home was the same as it was with his gang. Elaine's father physically and emotionally wounded his wife, children, and anyone in his way. Because of him, everyone called her child of evil. Elaine's words attest to her vehement disgust with her father's evil ways. My deepest fear was that I would grow up to be like my dad. When he beat me, I hoped he would kill me, because being dead would be better than growing up to be like him. So Elaine had a biological father, but she certainly did not have a dad. In many ways, you could call her a fatherless child. And she's not alone. How many people in our country, in our world, live in broken family situations? How many kids in Madison alone are growing up in situations where there is a biological father but no real dad in their lives? How many people, even in our own congregation, grew up with a family situation, maybe not as extreme as Elaine's, but broken nonetheless? How many people here today are struggling now with a broken family situation? We're going to look at the topic of fatherless children today. But I use that definition loosely, for there are kids in our world and there are adults in our world who are hurting from all kinds of broken family scenarios. Take, for instance, Elaine, whose father was around but not performing the role of a loving father to her. So while we focus in on fatherless children, the things we say here today could apply to all those scenarios, those other scenarios as well. Well, it's hard to get statistics on children living with abusive fathers, but it's quite easy to get statistics on children living without fathers. Around the world, there are an estimated 153 million children who have lost one parent, either through death or abandonment. There are just under 18 million orphans who have lost both parents and who are living in orphanages or on the streets and lack the care and attention required for healthy development. These children are, of course, at risk for disease and malnutrition and death. Fatherless children, perhaps motherless children. In the United States, closer to home, over 400,000 children are living without permanent families in the foster care system. 115,000 of those children are eligible for adoption, but nearly 40% of those will have to wait for over 3 years in foster care before being adopted. The United States Census Bureau reported in 1960 that 9% of children in our country lived with just one parent. In 2001, it was reported that 33.5%, 24 million children, were living in this country without their biological father. That's a large change for 40 years. Don't think that losing one parent matters that much. Think these kids will find a way? Well, yeah, many of them will find a way, but there are plenty of statistics that I won't go into with you today that say that this stuff matters to kids. This stuff matters to the healthy growth of human beings. You know, God has given us a compass. It's His Word, the Bible. Amen. The Word of God points out to us the ways in which we are supposed to live. Ways that will help humanity, if we would live by them, to avoid much of the brokenness that has led to statistics like these. Now, as is true in any gathering of people these days, in our assembly here this morning, there are people who have struggled through divorce or other scenarios, things that have not played out the way the Bible instructs us, things that have led to broken family scenarios, and these have been painful things for all involved. I know that there are all kinds of reasons for these various events that have occurred in the lives of people here today. None of us live perfectly according to God's standards. None of us do, okay? And that includes me as well. Life gets messy and complicated, I know that. However, that does not mean that we stop preaching the standards here. As people interested in this book and in following Jesus Christ, we need to continue to learn and talk about His standards to help prevent future broken things from happening, either in the lives of people who have not experienced those things in the past, but even in the lives of people who have, to make sure that this doesn't become a repeated experience in our lives. So I am called to preach these things. Let's state a few of these principles from God's Word now that relate to the subject of fatherless children and broken families. We'll start with sex. No matter what our culture says, sex is reserved for a man and a woman who have made a marriage commitment to each other. That's what the Bible says. It's the law, it's the commandment. If this were a sermon on sexuality, I would put Bible verses up on the screen for you now, but I'm not going to do that. You know they're in there. The primary biological function of sex is to have children, and children need a mom and a dad in a faithful, committed marriage relationship for life. Now, I'm not casting judgment. I am quite aware that sexuality is a major area of struggle for many, many people, but I am called to state what the principle is that is found in God's Word. And the breaking of this godly principle is one factor among many affecting why there are so many fatherless children and children living in broken family situations in the world today. Another principle from God's Word. God established the institution of marriage. Genesis 2:24, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Well, one flesh certainly does not indicate a temporary arrangement, does it? Jesus is quite clear in his teachings that the marriage commitment is not to be broken. The divorce rate in the United States is now about 40%. It's lowered, in part, people feel, because many people are just not getting married now. Our kids need us, parents and future parents. They need us to stay together, and not just to grind it out, but to work through issues that arise. And guess what? Issues will arise because marriage is difficult. We need to be committed to working it out. Yeah. Harlow, you need to be committed to working it out. No matter what issues come, we need to find a way to clear the obstacles that are preventing us from feeling that full love that we felt at the beginning of the marriage, right? I really believe that communication and counseling, man, if things start going bad, go to counseling. These things and genuine commitment from both parties, it takes both parties to staying together, to be willing to listen to what you have done wrong and not just be thinking about what the other person has done wrong. a commitment to showing love to each other, all of these things together can overcome almost all of the barriers, I think, that we run into in marriage. So another of God's principles for life, and we need to state this from time to time from this pulpit without judgment, but in truth, one of the pathways that this compass points to is the principle that we are not to break the marriage vow. It's not okay. If you've already been divorced, hang with me. There's another message coming for you later in the sermon. But when you look at the macro societal level, we have to say that the breaking of this godly principle to not back out of the marriage vow is another one of the many factors why there are so many fatherless children and children living in broken family scenarios in the world today. Well, let's look at another of God's principles that relates to this subject of fatherless children, parental responsibility. Each parent, both parents, are to give attention and love and discipline to their children. Man, you have a huge responsibility when a child is born to you. Mothers, Proverbs 31 paints a picture of a good wife, and it discusses how a good wife takes care of her children, keeping them warm and fed. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So mothers, your children need you active in their lives. They need you to be attentive, providing wise instruction, showing great love. Dads, Proverbs 22 says that you are to train children in the way they are to go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. So fathers, your children need you to be active in their lives. They need you to be attentive, providing wise instruction and showing great love. Just as God does for us, we are to provide to our children fair, unemotional, consistent discipline, and we are to balance that out by showing great love and spending time together. I'll repeat that. We, just as God does for us, we are to provide to our children fair, unemotional, consistent discipline, and we are to balance that discipline out with great love and time spent together. Kids need both parents active in their lives, attentive, providing wise discipline, showing great love. And it does not stop at attentiveness. The Bible says that we need to be godly parents. The same passage in Proverbs that described a good mother there goes on to say that she most of all is a woman who fears the Lord, who respects the Lord. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Teach them God's ways. Deuteronomy 6, it says this, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. So kids need you to be teaching God's word to them, to read the Bible to them. And I've got a great little kids' Bible suggestion for you if you're interested. Kids need their parents, both of their parents, to lead them in memorizing scripture, praying together with them, teaching them the principles of how to love God and love all people. They can be trained in this. Even more important than that, though, is that both parents need to not just be teaching godliness, but they need to be demonstrating it, living godly lives, following Jesus Christ. Well, the breaking of the biblical principle of the responsibility to be godly, involved, wise, and loving parents for your children is yet another factor why there are so many fatherless children and children living in broken family situations in the world today. The world is not as it was intended to be. I mean, we're failing as a human race, aren't we? 153 million kids living without one parent. And I know a lot of that is going to be due to sickness or death, but a lot of that is due to abandonment. Much of it is due to people not living by God's principles. And that 153 million number doesn't even begin to cover the number of kids living with parents who are abusing them. Child is a precious thing. Kids are not supposed to live in fear about worrying about whether mom and dad are going to stay together, about whether they are loved and safe, about whether they have a bed to sleep on. The compass says that all children are to have a mom and dad who are both living godly lives, who love them dearly, who provide for them, who discipline them, show them the right way, who spend time with them and show them great love. Well, the Bible also has something to say about those fatherless children. Isaiah 1, stop doing wrong, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. James 1, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. These commands reflect God's character and heart. See Psalm 68. Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. He is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. So this is who we are following, Christ followers. This is a God who cares about the needy. He cares about prisoners and outcasts, about widows who are missing their husbands, and that means that we need to be about these priorities as well. What are we going to do for those who fall under the label of outcast? What are you and I together going to do for the people who are lonely in our congregation and in our community? The verse there says that God sets the lonely in families. That needs to happen at the church then. The church needs to be doing that. I think this small group concept fits. We need to be family for those who have lost theirs, for those who are lonely and downtrodden. Just like God, we are to become fathers to the fatherless, mothers to the motherless. Well, we'll come back to this idea of how we can help fatherless children here in just a minute, but I want to clean up a couple of things first. I'll ask you two questions. The first one is this. What if you haven't abided by these principles that we just looked at from God's Word? Well, just as important as it is for me to preach what the principles are, and they are vitally important principles for us all to live by, just as important as it is for me to preach those things, it is important for me to preach the other huge message of the Bible, and that is that there is mercy for sinners. There is help for dark situations. Maybe you got divorced and it was completely not your fault. Maybe you were fully dedicated to your marriage and the other person wasn't. Maybe you got divorced and it was completely your fault. Likely it was a combination. Maybe you had a baby outside of a marriage commitment. Maybe you didn't get pregnant, but you had sex outside of a marriage commitment. Maybe you've been an inattentive and poor parent. Maybe you have not been a good example of a godly person. Maybe you've really let your child or children down, or perhaps even abandoned or abused them. Maybe you've been a husband or a wife who has not shown love to your spouse in the way that you should have. Well, my message to you, whether or not any of those things apply to you, is this. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive you your sins and purify you from all unrighteousness. Amen. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The message is that no matter how terrible things have gotten in your life, you can rise from the ashes. You know, you're still alive. And you have a God, you have access to a wonderful, merciful God who wants good things for your life, who will forgive and help. We cannot erase all the earthly consequences from our past actions, but in God's eyes, we can be completely clean. And Jesus will just tell you to brush yourself off, get back on the horse, and ride in the direction that the compass shows you. There's mercy for you, there's mercy for me, praise the Lord. Second question is this, what if you are the fatherless child? What if your father passed away, or what if your father or maybe mother is still living but has let you down in a major way? Well, if that's you, remember a couple of things. Remember, first of all, that your earthly parents aren't really the ones who brought you into the world. In fact, they kind of had a small part to play in it. They were, however, tasked with a huge responsibility for you that they had an opportunity to either do well or to fail at. But, you know, they're just human beings living in a broken world, like we all are. They're not your real parent. God is your creator. And the more you get to know God, the more you will realize that he does relate to you in the way that your parents were supposed to. God loves you immensely. He will teach you how to live rightly. He will discipline you if you need it. He will never leave you. He wants to spend time with you and to bring good things to your life now and ultimately in heaven with him. It is God's opinion who determines your worth, no one else's. And I know from Scripture that he loves you with all he's got. John 1, 12 to 13. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. And please listen to Proverbs 27:10. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Amen. What's the rest of the story of the child named Elaine who we heard about at the beginning of the sermon? This story, by the way, is from Jan Coates and Rebecca Montgomery from Set Free Today Ministries. And they write, Elaine felt like two persons. One person was unwillingly dragged into the horror-filled world she could inherit because of her father. The other met Jesus at Vacation Bible School, memorized John 3:16, learned to sing Jesus Loves Me. What Elaine experienced is called spiritual warfare. On the battlefield of your heart, Satan and his agents constantly confront Jesus for domination of your soul. Evil principalities want you to be a prisoner of your past. Elaine knows this. Years after her father's death, Elaine discovered the battle was still raging when she became engaged. In premarital counseling, the pastor uncovered her deep emotional scars and fears. Pastor, I'm afraid I will become like my father who was cruel and corrupt, she said. I don't want to be the child of evil. The pastor said, the moment you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you became a permanent member of God's family. You're no longer the same person. You are not a child of evil, but a child of God. After years of counseling and Bible study, Elaine began to see herself as God sees her. Each time Satan would try to tell me I was doomed because of my father, says Elaine, I would reread who my heavenly father says that I am. Today and every day is a new beginning for followers of Christ. We deliberately, consciously remind ourselves that our past identities are just that, history. We have new identities. We're born of God. We're fully adopted with all the benefits of his naturally born child. Through God's mercy, we call him Abba Father or Daddy. As we grow in God, we develop a new self-image. Self-destructive behaviors fade away as we surrender our old selves to the Lord. Growth in Christ, says Coates and Montgomery, is a lifelong transition. Many individuals who have personally survived traumatic experiences and or marred childhoods feel that change takes too long. The assumption is that if God is involved, the process will be instantaneous, magical, and not too messy. But deep healing, supernatural change may take years of struggle. Every Christian alive is a work in progress, and this process will continue for us all until we are standing face to face with Jesus himself. It continues until our Father welcomes us home with a greeting of, my child.
Amen. Yes.
Well, we live in a broken world, full of hurting people, full of fatherless children who need, like Elaine, to be reprogrammed with the truth, who need to be loved on with patience and consistency until over time they see and feel that they actually are not fatherless. That they have a heavenly father. That they are worthwhile and much loved. So, okay. The final question then is, how can we help these fatherless children? Maybe God is calling you to adopt a broken, lonely child. Maybe He's calling you to do foster care. Maybe he is calling you to mentor a child. Do you know anyone in town who is a fatherless child? I'll bet you do. Maybe you are to invest in our community kids through Wednesday Warriors this week. And, you know, remember, if working with kids is not your thing, there are plenty of people groups who are hurting. Just pick one and go show love. Go do it. Maybe it'll be a bunch of adults who were fatherless children. Well, to finish the sermon today, I have a video that I took from Big Brothers Big Sisters website. I don't know a ton about that organization, not necessarily plugging them here, but this video is right on. This is the kind of thing we need to be doing in Jesus' name. Let's watch together.
Phil, and I'm Malik's big brother. I was talking to a friend, and she was involved with the program, and she was telling me how great it was, and I applied and got contacted really soon, and they interviewed me to see what I wanted, and I said, well, they'd probably be a little bit nerdy, because I'm a mega nerd, and they should probably really like the outdoors, because that's where I spend all my free time. And they came back later and they said, we've got the one. We've got Malik. And I met Malik and we were just friends right away.
Usually I can share more ideas with him than my mom or some other people because basically, he's there for me a lot, and so is my mom, but he's like the only guy in my life, so I usually just talk to him more. I'm Malik, and I'm a little brother, and it's awesome.
Memories I have with Malik are like some of the best memories I have. The things we do are just awesome because I have someone now that I can share all those things that I never wanted to stop doing. I never wanted to stop playing and going to the library and camping, and to be able to continue to do those things and to pass that on, and to know that he's going to do that with his little brother, and he's probably going to be in the program someday too, just like his mom was. That's really awesome. It's just such a rewarding experience. Like, I don't see any drawback to participating in this program at all.
It's good stuff. Let's pray. Lord God, there are a few ways that you, well, there are many ways, but a few major ones in which you have sought to heal a broken human race. You've given us the compass, your word, Lord, that instructs us in the ways we are to live. Next, and so importantly, you've given us a way to be saved from our sins, since none of us do follow your paths perfectly. You knew that we needed a Savior. And then finally, you've placed your followers, your church, in this world to be light in the darkness, to be the people who will not only carry forward your message of truth, love, and forgiveness, but who will be the people who will actively seek to show love, to mend hurts, to be fathers to the fatherless and mothers to the motherless. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and for bringing us into your good causes. I pray that you would enable us through the Holy Spirit to not miss the opportunities that we have for doing these things for others. Help us to see and seize those opportunities. And give us the time resources that we need. And the ability to carry these things out. We thank you for your wisdom. And we pray these things now. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.